CMS, what's happening? This is Joe Colussi, your traveling principal, with some feedback. And based on all the observations that I had when I was at your site last week, it was so awesome, not only in PLC, but checking out what was going on during your intervention or your deployment. And I can't help but to nerd out over it for a little bit. And I wanted to send you guys some additional ways that we could either break down our students during that time, but more importantly, you're going to be realizing that your formative assessments and the way the kids are performing in your class daily is going to produce mass amounts of data. This is more realistic data, but you guys also use and we'll cover different categories and sources of the data. State issued and school-wide issued and district-wide issued assessments. And so a lot of people will say to you guys, okay, here's your data, use your data. And I told you guys at the beginning of the year that we were going to dive into this. And so this whole episode here, you could listen to it in your car, you could watch it on YouTube, wherever, but this is whole the whole thing is revolved around how you guys can best use data during your math deployment or your math interventions time that you guys have, which I think is just amazing. You will see successful results. And so let's nerd out over that for a little bit here to try to make your car ride a little bit better. Okay, so let's talk about using data first, right? The idea, the general goal, a successful goal behind using data is so you have information about how your students learn and you can cater how you teach them accordingly. That is the purpose of data. Most times it's misconstrued by the popular definition, how well is your school performing? Whatever, man. I don't know a lot of parents that look at data and say, that school's terrible, I'm not going to send my kid there, and then all of a sudden that school closes. Let's get that right out in the open, right? That's like this general misconception with data. Oh my gosh, this is what data is used for. This is what ends up happening. Everybody's going to hold us accountable. We're going to get in trouble over this data or whatever. Let's throw that common misconception out the window. And let's start with a clean slate. And so you're talking about students being broken down into different types of sections, and they're splitting time between new teachers during this enrichment opportunity that you guys have created. And so teachers can reteach different topics to students. They can work individually with them on current topics that they're going on, what have you. Nonetheless, initial data collection will begin immediately, and students will start showing that they're either improving or struggling in areas, and we need categories of data that are relevant to showing change. And so here are some. Here are some. IABs. So I know you guys are going to have to start doing these. These are easy starters for your class. It's an easy way that you guys can, let's say, next week, we wanted to during our intervention time, just give an IAB. The IAB can be hand selected based on a specific content area that you guys are focused on, math or English, right? Math or ELA. And so, considering that, you can kind of control those, but they must be graded immediately. If they're not, and then information regurgitated back to the student, because then you can inform your practice and how you prepare them, it's almost like another busy thing. It also almost turns into what people think the SBAC is in math and ELA, right? Something for the school, something for someone else. This is how students learn. It's a snapshot of how they learn. So you need to understand this isn't another assessment that we're giving. This is for the benefit of the kid. If you want to talk about the derivation of the SBAC, I'd be more than happy to. But it is unfortunately not just another assessment. And it is created, unfortunately, for the growth of the process of learning for students. If you go into it with that mindset, it actually works to your benefit. You can resist it, but it's not going to go anywhere, right? ICAs are much more involved. And it's another way that you could generate data. Just like the IABs, even though the IAB is content area specific, the ICA can also revolve around, of course, an area of content. Again, must be graded in order for it to be relevant. I'm a fan more of the IAB because that's something quick and you can do on a regular basis. And just get the kids used to taking the test, right? It's like an SAT, PSAT type strategy. But both provide results. I know STAR assessments are also good to utilize as benchmarks for growth if they were taken seriously and issued in a proper way, and can provide some granular data on student levels, most specifically with their Lexile level or their comfort level with vocabulary, if you want to call it, lack of any other way, right? And so you could adhere to that Lexile level if you knew you're teaching in a seventh grade class and yet everybody's on a fourth grade reading level. You know, so that would make you create directions and scaffold content in a much stronger way. Renaissance. This is another outlet for an assessment. A district-wide assessment can be used monthly. Does provide benchmarks that, in a sequence, will show a pattern of development. All right. So those are almost summative, right? Formative results conducted during the actual work sessions, I do think are a little bit more impactful here. So, I mean, when you're talking about compared from the beginning of a session to the end of a session in a specific day, that's like magnanimous, right? So think about it through that lens. You know, working with these students every day is going to give you probably the best data on your students. Perhaps both teachers can simulate an IAB, and then by giving tasks to students that revolve around a specific content area, we're always focused in this marriage of how to take the test as well as what we're tested on. And so you can look at it through that lens. Retakes, I know you guys are always giving, which is just phenomenal, right? But within a retake, you could say, you know, you got 7 out of 10 correct. The three that you got wrong revolve around this area. So before we retake it, let's learn a little bit more about this area by going to this resource, practicing here again, and then we retake. And so just that's probably your best use of data in those intervention times. And then, of course, more formative assessments could be quizzes, tests, projects, but they've got to be divided by some sort of a skill or topic of study for the purposes of future use. Right. So I would think if we're talking about an actual book and you give it a test at the end of the book on all 10 chapters, right? If a kid fails that test and they get a 40 on it, what's more important is the 6 out of 10 that they did not get correct could revolve around skills, not chapter content, skills, right? Reading comprehension. It could be word analysis. It could be something that deals with vocabulary. It could be something that revolves around the level of questioning that you're asking being perhaps a little too demanding of that student. And so there's a lot of different ways. Like you could give your next assessment, start with a couple of level one DOKs, a couple of level two DOKs, and a couple of level three DOKs, and hence you have 10 questions. If you get a kid gets a 70 and all the level three DOKs are incorrect, you know that they're only really able to understand the content on the surface level, right? And so it's a very basic level of understanding, and therefore it gives you the ability to say, okay, well, you didn't understand this, so I'm going to scaffold instruction and connect the two together a little bit more appropriately. So it's easier for you to make this association. Therefore, easier for you to understand these higher level DOKs. And so, you know, I believe it's necessary to have some sort of a template or a system to track the evidence, maybe something like a separate grade book. But nonetheless, you know, something I know that there's a teacher at a Huron Middle School, John Lucas Alvarado. My man's killing it. He's got this amazing color-coded Google form or sheets, and he's got the kids in there, and he's already working with other teachers. And when they give him the information and the data, he plugs it in, and it's easy to be able to see where they were and where they are now. You know, I thought of this idea. How about a cover page for each quarter, week, or month? when you're meeting with these students, which the students actually fill in and self-assess their learning paths on specific topics. So they kind of rate themselves. Holy moly. Is that something we want kids doing in an intervention class? I ask you this. Why not? Are they there because they don't know it? Okay. But I've watched a couple of teachers teach, and they're working on a problem that's on the board, and kids are asking questions, and they're going to individual students while the rest of the class is just kind of waiting. Just kind of waiting opens itself up to anything. Disaster, interruptions, a lack of focus, who knows, right? But it takes away from your ability to have an effective one-on-one when the other 28 or 29 that are in the room are doing whatever they're doing, right? So this here could really allow everybody to be working on a self-assessment sheet, and they rate themselves accordingly, and they have to store that throughout just it provides amazing data. Then you could use it and say, oh wow, I saw that you put on your rating sheet that you felt like you were doing really well here, but this here you're awesome conversations, right? Self-assessment, self-learning, one of the higher orders of thinking. So regular communication with these students, I think, is another means, almost like the John Dory measure what matters, right? So you're having these check-ins with the kids. Triaging type worksheets can be done. Additional formative and summative scores can show developmental progress on this, almost like your own cover sheet, right? So your own triage sheet. I just think when we're talking about formative tasks, they could be given based on areas students show needs in. Questions should revolve around specific areas that students are exhibiting a need of growth. So it could be looking at, multiplication of fractions. And you're giving a test, and the test consists of regular multiplication, multiplication of several digit numbers, and then multiplication of fractions. And everybody gets the first bunch right, but the last section they're all bombing. That allows you to know, more specifically. So think about that when you're creating these assessments, or you're creating anything for that time spent with those kids. Can both teachers or the teachers that are working together during this time create a list of major topics that the curriculum covers? And then from there, niche down to what skills or knowledge that goes along with each topic is necessary. And it could almost act as a guide, which we would like check off these topics that each student is developing in and progressing in. And we can record this in our triage type portfolio cover sheet that the students have. We can review it during their check-ins, the regular meetings that you have within those regular meetings can be 1 minute. Give me everything in 60 seconds, however you want to do that, right? Calendar these appointments with your students so they're starting to become the routine of using their calendar and adhering to what's on there as well, I think is extremely important for these kids. And on those calendared meetings, you're going to be able to show the results from benchmarks to the students. Ask what their needs are and how you can help them. Combine these as your definition of support for that student. Try to create SMART goals for them, which are measurable goals that are realistic. They're timely, and it's something that can be obtained by the kid. I mean, also communicating with parents and guardians by sending regular results. I think is also very important. If your child knows, or your students' families and those at home know, you're doing really well. You're required to reach out to families and communicate with those that are in your classes regularly. And so why not try to communicate to the families in this regard? Your child has been coming in sporadically to my math intervention while they're there. This is how they're performing. This is their growth area. This is what they're working on. Just a snapshot, something that would definitely help you guys down the road with regards to using data in a way that's appropriate and effective for your intervention. So I gave you guys a lot. I know that we were talking about different ways that you can get some data, the need for a template. Again, I cannot say enough. When somebody gives you data and they say, here it is, and you guys are in your PLC or you're on a PD day or whatever it is, right? The idea is to say, okay, looking at the student's name, what are they doing well in and where are they showing areas of need? Based on that, you'll know how you can support them. That's ultimately the keys to using data, right? And so target your intervention strategies based on what's existing. And it seems like a lot of schools are starting to do that, which is, I mean, going to get you right out of the pandemic. It's good to know where you started, and often take a look at how far you've gone. It's also good to celebrate based on this data. I don't want to leave that part out at the very end here. Definitely celebration is necessary and sometimes all you should do. I do think that this is a very commendable program. I think it's innovative and unique. If you and your school can figure out a way to do something similar, why stop at math? How about ELA? Pretty soon, science. It could be something that almost rotates weekly. I think that that's phenomenal. It could really change the way you schedule your students if it's something that is really growing. And so, therefore, if anybody comes at you and says, here's data, what are you going to do with it? You now know the key is to determine how it impacts your student, right? Where are they strong and where are they weak? And then you'll know where they need support in is how you can inform your delivery of instruction, right? So you're almost not teaching yet what you're going to do tomorrow until you see the results. So you know what you need to cover for those that need it. And that's really the best use of data, if you ask me. That's what every teacher or administrator should be doing with it. And we all too often don't. So during your time that you have dedicated, please make sure that you are using data in any way that is effective and impactful for you. Okay, folks, there you have it. How to use data in some sort of an intervention or enrichment type class scenario. What I'm talking about here is you, if you have a regular bell schedule and you're in middle or high school and you're listening, it's almost like an additional period of a specific subject for an entire cohort of students. And so if you have a shortened day already, it would be ideal to make almost like a block of that time dedicated to this. If you do not have a block schedule already, and you do not have a shortened day and you're just 5 straight days a week, there's that actually opens up quite a bit of more opportunities to put in this swing period. Remember, those of you that are programming this, it's not another prep for your teachers. It is a way that everyone can improve their scores. Look at it as almost like a block, a double period of one of your content areas that would show the need for such. And you're going to rotate that in. If you're offering electives or singletons, which are one periods, right? You can alternate with that. You can get really creative with regards to a zero period. You can get really creative with regards to not needing an additional teacher when you're programming this, because it's you're dealing with the same cohort that already has the same group of teachers, and so it's a bit of a break for a teacher when you think about it. But it also is a bit of a caveat for the kid and the student and the teacher, because you're really allowed to dive deeper onto specific content. You're really allowed to ensure comprehension is present for all the students that are there, and it works out for everybody when this is the case. Think of it as almost like a science lab, right? So there you have it, folks. Thank you for tuning in to this week's show. We're talking about using data specifically for math or ELA. If you have an enrichment type period, and if you don't, this is how you can do it in your regular classroom. I got news for you. You're giving formative assessments in your regular classroom, regardless of the content that you teach. And so using that to inform how you move forward is the goal of why we use data. Okay, you guys, thanks so much for tuning in. This is Joe Clausy saying, use your data, man. Here it is. What are you going to do with it? See you guys.